Welcome to the Homes by Beauty podcast. Today is another meant to be, where I speak to someone and it really is about those choices, those moments, the situations that might not have felt like it at the time, but looking back were clearly meant to be moments. And today I'm speaking with Molly Chanson. With so many strings to her bow, Molly is a yoga teacher, an educator, an author, an entrepreneur. With 30 years plus yoga practice. Her new book is Yoga Wise, 365 Days of Yoga-Inspired Teachings to Transform Your Life. And it was really insightful speaking to Molly because we discussed exactly what yoga can bring to your life, but also the realities of what yoga means to you, what it can bring to you, how you can approach it when you feel tired or stressed, or you don't know if you've got the energy or even the capability. And Molly explains why her book is broken down into bite-sized, manageable, daily bits of information. I won't give away too much, but it's really insightful what Molly has to say. And she's so inspiring, and we do have a lot of laughs too.
Molly, it is great to speak with you. You've got a new book out. I actually went to a yoga class this morning and I was thinking about you when I was there because I couldn't agree more with the ethos of the book. Would you like to explain a bit about it?
Yes, of course. So my new book is called Yoga Wise, 365 Days of Yoga-Inspired Teachings to Transform Your Life. And what I have found through my experience and my training and my studies is that yoga is beyond this physical practice. So like when you were at yoga this morning, it's possible that you felt better after going. And we tend to have this awareness that it's not just physical and our body might feel better from moving and stretching, but there's also some other shift happening. And so that's where the ethical practice of yoga comes in.
And again, I was thinking about you and the book because it was a much busier class than normal. And I noticed there were people of varying levels. Some people looked very new. Some people looked as if they were very flexible. Others, again, age-wise, very young to much older. And it made me think about the book. Would it be good for anyone in the sense that if you feel that you're quite into your yoga, but you're by no means an expert, would you get something from it just as much as someone who's starting from scratch, just is really interested to get started?
Absolutely. So the book is meant for anyone, regardless of yoga experience. So if you have never done yoga, it will give you an understanding of how you can apply yoga to your life, regardless of knowledge of postures or flexibility or any physical limitations you might have from injury or the way your body is. So that part, the book is for everyone. Also, if you have a yoga practice or you've been practicing yoga for a long time, the book will also deepen your experience and practice. And it's really getting people from where they are to a new place.
And what I also liked about what I was reading was that it's not just about the yoga poses, it's also about maybe how you're feeling, where you're maybe your mind might be going to, whether you want it to go to somewhere or not. And it looks as if it's giving you the practices and the ability to sort of take yourself to where you want to be that particular day. Am I right? Is it not just here's some yoga to do today? It can also be here's some thinking, here's some reflection.
Yes, absolutely. So yoga, the book is really based on the eight limbs of yoga. And one of the eight limbs is asana, which is the physical practice, but there's seven more. So the book goes through all the practices from breathing and meditation and ethical practices, things we can do in our life to shape our character and our level of happiness and fulfillment. Sometimes there's journaling. So it's not just prescriptive, like do this pose and this will happen. It's more about creating your own yoga practice that is nourishing and supportive for where you are, whatever you're going through. And based on my personal experience, I feel confident giving a bit of a promise that if you do the practices, if you read a day at a time, the book is laid out. So you read a page a day, it's a few paragraphs, and it gives you something to think about and consider in your daily life. And so yoga becomes something that we're not just doing in a class or on the mat. It becomes this practice that we're always aware of.
And that's really thoughtful, because I think all of us, whether we mean it or not, we seem to struggle to find time to do things now. I used to love reading books, and at one point I would get through a book a week, maybe even more. I can't find the time now, and I'm not sure where the time's going. So were you quite thoughtful about doing that too, to make it digestible chunks that you would get something from, but you didn't feel you had to commit to 20 pages of a paragraph, which I sometimes do? I'll say, can't finish until I finish the paragraph, until I finish that chapter, until I finish this. And then I'm getting stressed because I know that there's another 10 pages, and that defies the point.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then we're treating ourselves unkindly when the practice is to cultivate kindness and compassion and non-judgment. So yes, the book is very accessible and digestible. And I love the consistency of a daily practice. So doing a little bit every day, if it's just one sun salutation or one posture or reading a couple paragraphs, taking 5 minutes to be still before we move on with our day, all these little short practices add up when they're daily and consistent. And that's when I think the real transformation happens, because otherwise we get overwhelmed, like you're saying, we get mad at ourselves, and then we leave our practice completely. And we just give up on it completely. So anything that you can do daily that works for you is going to be the most effective.
And I saw again, you've got so many different things that you've achieved. 30 years, is that practicing yoga? But then you've also, you're an educator, you're a qualified teacher, you're an entrepreneur. Was the book, I know you've got multiple books, is it something that you always know is within you? Or is it something that happens along the journey? You think, now's the right time to do this?
Yes. So it's definitely a journey. For me, it was, at least. I started practicing yoga when I was 15. So when I say I've been practicing for over 30 years, that's because I started when I was 15. My mom taught me. There weren't yoga studios around us or anything like that. It wasn't like it is today. So I just started doing the poses with her in our home, and something about that stayed with me. And when I went to college and started my career and was on this path trying to figure out my life and where am I supposed to be and what am I supposed to do, the yoga practice was something I always went back to. But I did not intend when I started that practice to write books about yoga or become a yoga teacher even. I didn't complete my yoga teacher training until I was 40 years old. So it took me that long to realize, I think I'm ready to become a teacher instead of a student. And we're always obviously both. But yes, it has been a journey that little pieces or hints, and I think this happens for everyone when we're paying attention, that the journey is revealed along the way. So it's not like we're handed this map. Maybe, unfortunately, that's what we want, is like, just tell me how to live the best life and be the happiest, and I'll go do that, because we're humans and we're very resourceful and we're capable of anything. But unfortunately, or maybe not, because I think there's so many lessons along the way, we're not handed a map. So we have to kind of try something and then follow the energy, notice how we feel and where we're being guided, who's showing up to point us in a different direction or to reassure us that we're in the right place, and making those decisions for ourselves, trusting ourselves along the way. So, I did, when I was going to school to become an educator, I did always have this little nudge, like, maybe I should go get my yoga teacher training. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it seemed really impractical. And so this is really common, I think, in yoga, in the sutras. It's called dharma. And dharma is our soul's purpose. And dharma is our path that is going to lead us to fulfillment. But dharma isn't about, like, I'm supposed to be a teacher, or I'm supposed to be a doctor, or I'm supposed to be a parent. Dharma is also about the path that leads us to that. We get as much transformation and fulfillment about being present on the path and finding our Dharma as we do when we reach it or when we're practicing it. So I always had this nudge about becoming a yoga teacher, but it felt so impractical. It was expensive. You know, it seemed better to go to college and get an important degree and then get a good career. And this was sort of like, obviously, the conditioning that many of us are taught and expectations from my family and expectations from myself. So the yoga teacher training just seemed impractical and indulgent and unnecessary. And so I never did it until I was 40 and was in a really challenging life spot. Started to realize that yoga was helping me in ways that that were unexpected. It wasn't just a physical practice anymore. It became very personal, very nourishing, very spiritual for me. And that was really my motivation to learn more and to help others. And I'll also say that my yoga practice over these 30 years has not been consistent. So when I became a mom and I was raising babies, I wasn't practicing yoga. So there were breaks in between. There were times that I was really focused on the practice. And then there were times that I was not in the practice or I was not going to classes. It didn't work out financially or with my schedule or whatever it was. And so it really is about the journey and coming back when we need it. And I really believe that, you know, the timeline is not up to us. But if we're following that energy and going, like when I knew I needed to go back to a regular yoga practice, I took that and I did that. And that really helped me through some difficult times.
I love your honesty. I think everyone that wants to start anything, be it yoga, even the gym, they always have this belief that everyone that's there has been there consistently and they've never taken a break. And sometimes they think that they just started up there. They just started fantastically able to do everything. And it's lovely to hear from someone like yourself, who's an expert, who knows what they're talking about, to hear you say, actually, I had my breaks. I had times when I didn't do things. It's lovely for us to hear that. I do think there's a lot of us that think, should I start this? Should I not? Oh, I don't want to be in the class and feel as if. So even again, we're back to the book. It's a great way to maybe reconnect if someone's been thinking about getting back into it.
Absolutely, yes. And we always think we need to be further along than we are to start something. Or before I go to this yoga class, I need to do something else to make myself flexible. Or before I apply for this job, I need to go back to school. And, you know, of course there's things before I go back to school, I need to, whatever the thing is that's stopping us from just taking that next first step. And knowing that, you know, our path is the meaningful one for us, wherever we are, and the comparison of where we think other people are or what they've been through or why they're there is often not really accurate, and it can hold us back from getting started.
And you've actually made me think of one of the simplest things, and I bet you would have a nice point on this. Some people don't want to go to yoga because they're embarrassed about their body shape and they've got this idea in their head that you have to be this really either super toned or tiny, and you've got to wear yoga pants and I'm sure you'll have something to say. It's when I go, it's varied. It might be men wearing like soccer tops, it might be women wearing just like loose t-shirts. It's, there will obviously be people that are there and you think they're a gymnast, they look fabulous.
Yes.
Mix, isn't it? It's such a mix.
Absolutely. Yoga is for everyone. And it's normal that we have this view because that's what's been fed to us. And that's what we see. And obviously, whether it's yoga or any other thing in life, the focus on the physical body and appearance is huge. And so it's normal that we have this idea in our head or think it's not for us. And I love that my book and my yoga teaching and the students I have and the practice the practices that I'm leading, I really emphasize that this has nothing to do with how you look, what you're wearing, where you came from. You know, it's very much a personal practice. It's for everyone. Everything's accessible. And so as you go along in the book, it is intentionally laid out to go, you know, to go be read in order. So you're reading a page a day, and the book starts with saucha, which is cleansing. And it's one of the ethical practices in the eight limbs of yoga. And it just starts with these small little shifts in behavior or small little shifts in our thinking. And as you go, you build up your confidence and your strength. And then we get to more advanced practices and mindsets. And so really, like we've been talking about, anyone can start with this book and by the end of the year have a significant transformation and a really consistent, wonderful yoga practice.
And on your website, there's so many different things that you do and so many things you offer. What kind of feedback do you get from clients or even people, again, that have read your books? What sort of feedback do they give you?
So my first book is a memoir. And I started writing that when I was going through a few challenging life experiences. And for whatever reason, I was drawn to writing. I taught writing, but I had never done my own writing. I certainly hadn't done personal writing. And so that first book is a memoir. And the feedback I get on that book is that people appreciate the honesty and kind of putting it out there that I'm not perfect. And, you know, life can look perfect on the outside, but someone can be really struggling inside. And so that memoir was kind of a lot of my admission, but also wanting other people to feel like nothing's wrong with them, that, you know, life brings us challenges and it's difficult to move through them and deal with them. And the power of continually turning in towards ourselves to figure out how we can either change or what we need to give ourselves, you know, shifting some of these beliefs we have about ourselves or about the world, just a lot of really powerful practices. And so the memoir was an example of my personal life experience. So it was relatable to other people that might be going through similar situations. And then in addition to that, how the eight limbs of yoga helped me through and gave me insight into those experiences and emotions I was having during that. So that's the feedback I get from that, is just that people say, thank you, I related to this and it made me feel less alone. And then this next book, Yoga Wise, is based on a weekly Monday mantra that I started writing about 6 years ago and sending out an email every Monday morning with an inspirational thought or something to ponder for the week. And those mantras have turned into this 365 daily reader. And those mantras I started writing, it was like one of those, I don't know why I'm writing this, but I am. And I didn't even plan on doing it necessarily consistently, but it's just like clockwork. Every Monday that mantra goes out and I have never missed one. And I think when life gives us those things that we just do, we don't know why, but we do it consistently and we do it with joy. And, you know, noticing that energy, I've just kept doing it.
That's lovely. Isn't that lovely how that just evolved?
And yes.
There's a brilliant quote on the website. I came to my mat for survival. And I think to myself that that's a brilliant quote, because I think that a lot of us do that. And it doesn't always need to be a big dramatic reason. Sometimes it's tiredness. Sometimes it's overwhelmed just with life, work. It's not always a big, huge life moment. Sometimes it is literally, I need this me time. I need this. Because yoga does give you energy. As much as everyone thinks it might relax you, it gives you energy too. So I think that's a fabulous quote.
Oh, thank you. Yes. One of my yoga teachers talks about yoga bringing aliveness. And I love the way he says that. And yes, we don't have to be in catastrophe or major chaos or huge tragedy to come to yoga. But I think everyone who comes to yoga is coming because they want something. And it's not just about the physical. And often with my students, what I find is they come into the practice, which is my online yoga membership, and they come to the practice and they might say, my goal is weight loss, or my goal is to help with my knee pain or my back pain or help me sleep better. But often after a few weeks doing the practice, their goals shift to like, I want to feel more self-empowered, or I want more confidence, or I want to welcome in a loving relationship, or it changes into this other thing. And I always say that voice that's saying, I think I need to go to yoga. I think I'd like to try this. Even if you don't know what your reason is or what it's going to bring, it's really important to listen to that voice and that nudge that is calling you to the mat or to the class or to the practice.
And there's also a bit that I read where you say that the answer a lot of the time is within you, because there's also, is it yoga and meditation and all of the spiritual side all connected together? And I like the thought about that. We do often look to external sources, don't we? We think if someone looks really confident, we think, well, I need to be like them. Or if someone markets themselves as if they've got the answer to everything, we think, I must buy their course, I must feed into this. But I liked what you were saying, that the answer is within.
Yes. So yes, we are doing things all the time. I am doing, this is a hard lesson to really embody, but all the time we're doing things outside that we think will make us feel better. If we look a certain way, if we dress a certain way, do our hair, make our partner change, if the kids weren't so crazy, we would be less stressed. Like we have these, all of these external, if we could just get a bigger house or a better paycheck or whatever we tell ourselves. And, you know, yoga and meditation, if those are scary or intimidating words because you don't have a practice or you don't really understand what that means, yoga is really about noticing our feelings and then acknowledging that feeling. So it really is as simple as that practice of, here's this feeling. What does this feeling feel like as a sensation? So does sadness feel panicky? Or does, if someone yells at you, do you get like a lump in your throat or a pain in your belly? Or, you know, what are these sensations that we have when we can't sleep at night? What is happening in our physical body as a sensation? And can we tune into that? And then once we connect with that physical sensation or that feeling, looking at it and kind of noticing does a lot. We notice a few things. We notice that, first of all, it shifts and changes. So we can name something and say, I'm feeling anxious right now. But once we tune into that feeling and observe it within ourselves and within our physical body, anxiety doesn't just feel like one thing constantly. It will change. Like that feeling in your gut or your heart or your throat or wherever it is kind of moves and all of its energy. And so yoga and meditation and the practice is, how are we feeling in any given moment? And can we observe that feeling? And it's not about, how can I fix this feeling? How can I change this feeling? But watching that feeling and noticing that the feeling will change once it's being watched.
I love it. That makes so much sense. And I was speaking to someone today, I'd love to know your insight. It was actually about when someone is an expert in something, it doesn't matter how respected they are. Your kids or your family just don't listen. It's with yoga teachers, when you've got all this knowledge and when you've got the ability to take yourself back down if you're feeling too stressed, does it not matter what you say to the kids? Do they just like not listening? Don't they?
Absolutely. I have few answers about motherhood and parenting and controlling the kids. Yes. And it reminds me, what you're talking about is that I started teaching when COVID happened and everything shut down. I started teaching free yoga on Facebook and doing Facebook Lives every week where I normally had my slot at the studio. And the kids were home, of course. And so I would be teaching yoga and, you know, the dog's barking, the kids are running and screaming, even though right before I said, I need 45 minutes. Here's a video, you know, go in the basement, be quiet. I'm going to be teaching yoga, whatever it is. And it just never, I mean, even working anytime working from home, it's like, they're knocking on the door. They promise they understand, but then they need something. They don't know what a real emergency is, you know, it's whatever their needs are. And so I was teaching these classes online and inside I'm sort of dying, like, why are they doing this? And I'm frustrated. And just because I'm a yoga teacher doesn't mean that I don't get panicked and frustrated and impatient with my kids, of course. But I tried to handle it for the audience as best I could. And afterwards, everyone was always obviously very kind, like, I'm glad to see that your kids are a little wild also, or, you know, it's not about being perfect. Nothing's about being perfect. And that was a huge thing I had to let go of a long time ago and still trying, is this perfectionism of like, I can't have chaos, or I can't make mistakes, or I can't get frustrated because I'm a yoga teacher and I should know better.
That is so real. And it's just so amusing. I was talking, as I say, to someone, and we both agreed that even if you were the world leading expert in a subject, your family and children would probably say, well, I get what you're saying, but I'd rather hear what that person's got to say.
Yes. Like, oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And my kids are in middle school, so they will listen to their friends and their peers way more than me or their dad. Yes.
That's why I think the book would be perfect, just as a little subtle thing, just to give them, just say, look, you can manage one page a day, just do your page.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Sometimes they get really stressed and upset about something, and they'll come to me for advice. And before I can even say anything, they say, don't tell me to breathe. I'm not doing that. So
that's funny. That's funny. And we all know that's exactly what it's like.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you. Could you give us the full title of the book so that if anyone wants to go and search for it now, they know exactly what they're searching for?
Yes, of course. The book is called Yoga Wise, 365 Days of Yoga-Inspired Teachings to Transform Your Life. And it comes out in May. And I am really excited about this book. It has been a big project, a big putting out there. And I know it will bring shifts and transformation for people. So I'm really excited.
Can't wait to see how it's responded to. And I just have a feeling, just from talking to you, that people will be thinking, do you know what I can do? I need to do every day. I just need to do something for myself. And in the meantime, can they check you out? I know you've got your website. If you want to share that with us, they can see where
you're. Sure. Yes. My website is mollychanson.com. My first and last name. And from there you can see my memoir and my online yoga practices and options. And the book Yoga Wise is there, will be there when it's available in May. And I would love to see anyone at a class. And if anyone has any questions, my email and contact is there. And I will always write back and talk to you and give you anything you need. And absolutely anyone can do this. So no matter where you are, or all the reasons you're telling yourself, this isn't for me, check it out anyway.
Oh, Molly, it's been lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine.